Hello, dear listener. NFL Week 7. In London, the Giants roll in the Insomniac Bowl. Yes, a total snore fest at best. Meanwhile, in a game more suited to the UK palate, the Eagles and Vikings act out the ultimate in British politeness. No, 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 you have the ball. No, 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 you have it. I couldn't possibly take it. As they traded 8 turnovers until the Eagles said no to the Vikings' Icelandic hand clap, and yes, to a good old-fashioned Philadelphia face slap. Breaking medical news. In Baltimore, as we pray for Ravens superfan Don's liver, after he confesses to having a whiskey shot for every Baltimore rushing yard. But you can relax, listener. It turned out to be only 6. Both now have a bye week to recover from the runs, or lack thereof. Don't look now. Holy cow, Justin, the Chargers are back. Matty Icepick does his pick trick, leaving the Falcons fans sick. Oh, and some hot soccer news. In an entertaining late-season friendly fixture, Arizona United and Seattle Sounders tie 6-6. Oh, what? Hey, who? Oh, really? Oh, apologies, listener. That was an actual NFL result. Seahawks and Cardinals go 6-6. Well, I'm stumped. Both kickers are chumps. And who will jump and who will slump in this week's next Fan Up Power Rankings? Justin, I'm pumped.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
So, Justin, an absolutely crazy, crazy weekend. Who will have experienced the craziness more than you? Only Arizona Cardinals fans. How are you feeling, man?
I don't know how to feel. We didn't lose in a game that we probably should have. Didn't win, though. They say a tie is like kissing your sister. I don't have a sister, so... And if I did, I don't think I'd kiss her, so... I don't even have a frame of reference for that one.
Wow, Justin. Okay, let's move on quickly. Tell me about, just give me a second on how come Seattle couldn't put a touchdown on Arizona.
It's hard to say.
Don't
their
speak
pass
about
was, the pass
Don't
rush
speak
was,
about your sister again.
the pass rush was really, really good, and I did a good job keeping Russell Wilson in the pocket. And his mobility is really limited right now. I think going into the game, he has something like 33 rushing yards on the season. Whereas, you know, every other year, you see him rush off individual rushes of 33-plus yards. And add that to the fact that the offensive line has played their worst game since probably week one, where they were not only were they getting beat badly, but they were all sorts of killer holding penalties. And then on top of it, Russell Wilson just didn't play great. His throws were off target. You know, probably rush, but just overall, the offense played bad against the defense that was playing really well, and they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, they just could not do anything for fourth quarter. So it was, we'll get to that. We'll probably speak more about that game when we get to Arizona in these rankings. But it was, well, we talked off air, and I said it was quite possibly the best and most exciting game of the season. But I guess fantasy owners won't be thinking that.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right about that, unless you had David Johnson.
That's true. Right, Justin, we're going to you made a great suggestion off air last week, and that was to do something a little bit different this week, and that was to, well, we spent the first few weeks looking at the dead enders and depressing ourselves down there before lifting our spirits by looking up at the contenders. But we've been doing not very much with the pretenders there in the middle of our tiers. So this week, we're going to quickly go through the dead enders because there's not a whole lot of change down there, and then we're going to spend a bit more time looking at those clubs who are from positions 22 up to number 11, and yeah, just a little bit more in depth to see where those guys can go. Are they going up? Are they going down? And what do they need to do to try and get themselves into the contenders tier of our rankings? How does that sound?
That sounds perfect. Let's get started.
Okay. At number 32, and we'll just quickly go through these, 32 and 31, no change from last week. San Francisco 32, Cleveland 31, really ugly.
Yeah, I think that we can probably just save the document as is with those two right there. They're not moving anywhere.
No, I don't think so. Maybe just for a bit of a change, we'll change them up next week if they both lose again. But oh my goodness, they were awful. Jacksonville are down 4 at number 30. Chicago, no change at number 29. And they lost to Green Bay, so yeah, no change there. We'll just keep them at 29. At 28, dropping down 5 places. The LA Rams, and Justin, I'm dropping them 5 places because they spoiled my afternoon yesterday. I like a Sunday afternoon where I'm feet up, watch some football, watch some soccer, have a pleasant afternoon sipping on a nice drink. And yesterday my afternoon was depressed by these Los Angeles Rams. They were awful against the Giants. It was terrible.
Yeah, this strategy of these London games seems to be undermined by always just sending the worst teams and worst matchups over for people to watch. It's like we're trying to convince people not to watch football over the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, it's a bit like, if you can bear to watch this and come back the next time, then you must be a real fan. I would say the Twickenham, where they played, the home to Rugby Union, 107 years they've had that stadium, Justin, and in 107 years they've had 107 years of rugby. This is the first other sport who have played at Twickenham, and we end up with that dross. Oh, it was terrible. Hardly worthy of the 107-year history of the stadium. Anyway, moving swiftly on. At number 27, the Tennessee Titans, who lost a close one to the Indianapolis Colts. But, yeah, Titans, they seem to be tackling themselves and just not getting anywhere really fast. At number 26, we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're up 4 spots from last week. They had, well, I was going to say an impressive win, Justin, but we have to remember the impressive win was against the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, it's hard not to win that game. They should have won that one almost by accident. So, I mean, congratulations there, I guess. You know, it's their quarterback situation is such a mess right now. That might be the biggest disaster in the league at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. The only time Kaepernick looked impressive last night was when he actually tucked the ball under his arm and had a run.
One thing Kaepernick does to me that is incredibly impressive is his ability to shove that massive afro into his helmet. That's incredible. I don't know how he does it.
It is absolutely incredible. I mean, wow, he could have things nesting in there. He's no idea are living in there. It's just brilliant. Amazing, but you are quite right. That helmet, I mean, that's going to be, surely that's going to help in concussions, surely. Surely
you're never going to get kicked. At that point, for staying on there, that helmet has to be in the running for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, it is awesome. Congratulations, Colin. You're the number one at something. At number 25, we've got the Indianapolis Colts. They're up 3 spots, and Andrew Luck is making that team look about 5 or 6 spots better than they actually are, because without Andrew Luck, they'd be number 33 position, Justin. At number 24, the New York Jets. Hey, the Jets won a game. Geno Smith is starter. Oh, Fitzpatrick came in, didn't he, and won the game. But, not happy days in the Jets, in New York with the Jets, but at least they won a game.
Yeah, although having the quarterback call out the coach and GM and coaching staff immediately after leading the team to a win makes for kind of a delicate situation.
Yes, and the owner, I believe. He even said the owner didn't have faith with him. That's fantastic. I love that. You know, if you're going to go, Justin, go hard.
Yep.
Number 23, you've got the New Orleans Saints. They're down 3. They kept it close at Kansas City, but you do wonder if it was actually Kansas City not playing that well that kept the game close, because with that defense, they're going to struggle every single game.
Yeah, I think they're going to lose every game in a borderline shootout, and so far that's pretty much proven to be the case.
Yep. Although you do have to admire Drew Brees. He's still pumping out the yards and the touchdowns. Right, we're into the... Well, talking about a terrible a team that can score points but can't seem to defend, and that's the Carolina Panthers. And they've been stuck in and around these this middle tier all season, but just dropping week by week. No change this week because they were on a bye. But, hey, Justin, I'm telling you, 29 points a game your defense is giving up. That is horrendous, especially for that defense.
Yeah, it almost seems like they could have used a secondary. Instead, they shipped out the entire secondary from last year, including your man Josh Norman, you know, offering him the franchise tag and then yanking it at the last minute. Sure seems like they could use a little bit more defense back there.
Absolutely. I was looking also, Justin, as I've got so much spare time on my hands, I was looking at the various first-round picks that teams made in this mid-tier to see what sort of performance they were putting in, you know, number of snaps they were getting. I always like the snap count because that sort of tells you how much sort of percentage of plays players are getting. And they got Vernon Butler in there, and he's been injured. Only played 63 snaps, 16%. But he's not helping that defensive line. And that defensive line was so good last year. Kawan Short and all the guys at linebacker. I just don't know what's happening. Is it simply the defensive backfield? Or should they be getting more pressure up there?
I definitely think that's the biggest thing. You know, they're definitely not generating pressure like they have in the past, which just makes the issues worse for the secondary. The one thing that I'm kind of curious about, this would be a great one to ask our Carolina superfan, is about Luke Kuechly. I feel like I'm not hearing his name as much this year as I have in past years. Could just be because the defense is bad overall, but you know, he's by far the most important player on that defense. So if he's not up to his usual standard, that's going to be a significant issue for the Carolina Panthers as well.
Yeah, hopefully Jimmy can enlighten us there, because like you say, this guy was along with, is it Davis? And they also got I'm going to get my Shaqs wrong. I think it was Shaq Thompson they got last year in the first round. That was a premier unit there in that team. But maybe it was the good defensive backfield, the good defensive line, and those guys were free to basically freelance and make those stunning plays. Don't know. But there's something going wrong there. They're scoring 26.8 points a game, but they're conceding 29.3, and that's just not going to get it done in this league. Up to number 21, got the Miami Dolphins. They're up six spots, Justin. And let's face it, this is on the back of Jay Ajayi, UK's finest ever product in terms of the NFL, I would think. And he's had back-to-back 200-yard rushing games, and that's in company, which is very high quality indeed. Not many guys have done that.
Yeah, he's been really, really impressive lately, obviously. He's kind of he's carrying the team at the moment. You know, I wonder if some of this is just, you know, luck with matchups or how the game plan of the defense, or if it's Adam Gase has finally said, all right, we're just going to give this guy the ball and let him carry us. And if that's the case, Miami has a chance to continue moving up. A lot of the teams in front of them aren't that impressive. You know, overall, they've got a solid roster, you know, a mid-tier roster in this league. And, you know, they're slowly creeping their way back into respectability in that division. And, you know, a hard-fought win against a division foe is not something to sneeze at. So that is a big, big win for Miami.
Yeah, no, a huge win. I guess if they're going to move up into the contender region, they're going to have to improve that defense. 25th ranked defense in the league. They've got the players there to move up, but we'll see if they can do that over the next few weeks. Number 20, we've got the Baltimore Ravens, and they're going in the opposite direction to Miami. Down five spots. Really on the slide. How do they stop this slide?
I think the biggest thing is they need to get healthy. I mean, Joe Flacco played, but he was definitely not 100%. There was some question prior to the game if he was going to play. They were without Elvis Dumervil. They were without... who's the other... I was going to say the other old guy, but that doesn't narrow it down.
Sucks.
on the defense. Yeah. So here's their inactive list from this game. Steve Smith, Ronnie Stanley, Marshall Yanda, Terrell Suggs, C.J. Mosley, Elvis Dumervil, Sharice Wright, and they had a Flacco who is kind of a shell of himself due to injury. So that's a lot of your better players who are unavailable for this game. If you get them back and healthy, they're going to be fine. But kind of like we talked about before the season started, you know, when you're relying on all really, really older players, the health is one of the biggest factors for them. You know, you can't say, oh, what if everybody's healthy? Because they're not going to be. That's just, you know, after this many years of wear and tear on the body. So this, to me, this is a roster that on paper could probably be, I think, a borderline like top 12 team, but I don't think we'll ever be healthy because of the age of the main players on this roster.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly they've fallen as soon as they got a few sort of significant injuries, and that says a lot about the depth and the work of the front office. Ooh, am I going to criticize the front office? Yes, I am. Poor drafting over the last few years. Although you'd have to say, this year's number one pick, Ronnie Stanley, who you mentioned there on that injury list, he played the first three games, played 100% of the snaps over the first three games, and they were, I think, 3-0 at that point. And they certainly have looked a shell of themselves on the offensive line since he's gone out. He's missed the last few games. So get him back, that will make a difference. But like you say, it's trying to get Flacco back, isn't it? And maybe Steve Smith. If Steve Smith can get back, I'm not sure if he's going to be back or not, but their offense has certainly slumped quite a bit since he went out. Okay, number 19, we have the Houston Texans. No change. They're on Monday Night Football. And here we go, Justin. I'm needing you to tell me who's going to win this game tonight, Houston or Denver?
Denver. they're just like a much better version of Houston, you know. All defense, no quarterback, some good wide receivers, except that they have the better defense. I think they have the better wide receivers, and I think that they've got probably the better head coach as well. So definitely Denver.
So we've got Brock Osweiler playing against his former team. We've got, now am I right in thinking, Gary Kubiak is coaching against his former team?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of revenge perhaps in the air, maybe certainly for Osweiler. Do you think Elway's given out the dictate that whatever you do, I don't mind if you win or lose, but flatten Osweiler?
I don't think the players need any motivation on that one. I think they're looking forward to the opportunity.
Yeah, maybe. Well, let's see. You've taken Denver. I'm going to take Denver as well. Yeah, I think Denver overall the better team, and they need to keep winning in that division because it's close down there in the West. Up to number 18, Justin, we've got the Detroit Lions. And I've got a little note here saying, Detroit, yeah, the offense is good, but the defense needs to improve. I had first-hand experience of watching Detroit as they played Washington last night. And I have to say, I was super impressed with Matthew Stafford. We're not allowed to call him Matt Stafford, I believe. You have to call him Matthew, or he'll get rather upset. So, Matty Stafford doing the job.
Yeah, Matty Northside is playing really well. I think that if he continues doing this, the team's got a shot to do pretty well in a... a good division, but not, I think, as good a division as a lot of us expected going into the year. But you're totally right. It's all about the defense right now. This offense could pretty much score on anybody. They'll have up and down games. You know, they're not absolute superstars on offense, but they're a good offense. But that defense is what's holding them back, and I don't know that that's going to improve this year. That's something you might have to wait until another offseason.
I think it would help them a lot if they got Ziggy Ansah back, 100%. He played a little bit last night, but he wasn't 100%. If he's 100%, that will help them greatly. They also lost Darius Slay, the top cornerback, last night. And I'm not sure, actually, thinking about it, if he came back or not, but he certainly missed a portion of the game last night. So a couple of key players they need back if it's going to improve. But I was impressed with Detroit, especially that last couple of minutes, that drive they put together. As hard as it was as a Washington fan, it was impressive to see that. Cincinnati are up one, And I put next to it Simon's comments from last night's pod. And I have no idea what Simon's comments from last night's pod were, because I've totally forgotten. But I think he was saying something along the lines of he wasn't quite sure who this Cincinnati team was at this point.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The Cincinnati Bengals, you know, they're a team that, at least roster-wise, we think is one of the better teams in the NFL. They've been without Tyler Eifert, which has been huge for them. But he is finally coming back. So that's going to make a big, big difference. They beat a bad Browns team. That's what they've been doing, is they've beaten the bad teams and lost to the good teams, which puts them right squarely in the middle of the power rankings. And at number 17, that's exactly where they're at. So I do think that with Eifert back, we're going to see them start to move up. But that remains to be seen. And they've been really unimpressive in games against good competition this year.
Yep, they're the sort of team who are scoring 20 points a game, but they've got the number two ranked offense in terms of yards. So clearly, they're missing something in the red zone. And maybe, like you say, that's Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd also just want to say, Simon, or English Simon, or Australian Simon, or perhaps Commonwealth Simon, we should call him, since he seems to represent all parts of the Commonwealth. Simon's left us now as a Bengals superfan, so we're looking for a new Bengals superfan. But I would like to add, Justin, that probably without Simon's input on this particular podcast, Next Fan Up, I probably wouldn't be here. It was only hearing a British voice on the podcast made me think, wow, maybe they could do with another British voice. So on the one hand, that's good for me. Thank you, Simon. On the other hand, Simon, you've got a lot to answer for, because... I'm on this podcast all the time, and that may not be the greatest thing in the world. moving up to number 16, it is the Washington Redskins. And interestingly, number 16, Washington, number 17, Cincinnati, they play each other in London this week. So we'll see the number 2 ranked offense and then against the number 3 ranked offense in terms of yards. And defenses who both give up 23.1 points a game. So it could be a close one. Washington are down 4 spots. They threw that game away last night. They'll be watching the tape today thinking, how on earth did we lose that game? But if you commit a couple of costly turnovers and you can't create a couple of turnovers, chances are you're going to lose, Justin. Tell me, what do Washington need to do? And don't say anything nasty about Captain Kirk.
I like Kirk just fine. It really is all about those turnovers. Whether it is Kirk throwing interceptions or what. This is a team that I think is pretty solid all around. The offense moves the ball well. I think Kirk is a good player. There's, DeSean Jackson. I think people forget a lot of times just how good of a wide receiver he is, because he's terrific. To me, it's really all about those turnovers. If Washington can limit those and force some more of their own, and just be like neutral in turnovers, like year over year, or maybe slightly positive, they could be a very, very good team, just because they're so solid pretty much all around. But that just kills them, like game in and game out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Last night it was fumbles from Jones and a fumble from Cousins. But yes, you're right. Interestingly, you note DeSean Jackson there. One of the issues with Washington last night was they didn't get any deep targets to Jackson at all. And I think if you've got DeSean Jackson in your team, you've got to take one or two shots every game, because that guy can still run down the field. So Justin, up to number 15, and here we have the Buffalo Bills down 4 spots after a rather disappointing performance against Miami, where you thought, well, Buffalo are on that really good winning streak. How did they manage to lose to Miami? Boom, oof. Ugly. The big plus, I guess, for Buffalo is they are putting points on the board. Without the star wide receiver Watkins, they're still putting on 26, almost 27 points a game. And they've got a good points for and against a situation there. They're 27 points offensively and just about 19 points defensively they've given up. The record should probably be a little bit better, but how are they going to get up there into the contenders section?
They won't. It's you know, I just gotta call my guy.
There must be hope.
I mean,
there must be hope.
Yeah. No. I mean, so this is a team that is playing better in all facets of the game than it was early in the season. The offense is playing better. The defense is playing better. You know, Tyrod Taylor is, you know, we're kind of figuring out what he is. You know, he's going to be a low completion percentage guy, but he'll, you know, make some big throws, get some good runs. The big concern for me, though, is LeSean McCoy is banged up. I don't know how long he's going to be out. But, you know, he's by far their best offensive player, by far. He's been so good this year. You know, he's looked like he did at his best in Philadelphia. You know, he's been fast, he's been shifty. So without him, that really limits that offense. I think if he was in for the entire game, we might have had a different result, honestly. That being said, you know, if you lose on the road to a division opponent, that's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, if there's games on your schedule you're most likely to win kind of regardless of the competition, it's those, you know, road division games. So, you know, I think it's good that we did not drop Buffalo further than that. But, you know, I just don't see, you know, even with LeSean McCoy back, you know, I can see them moving up a little bit, but I can't see them getting ahead of your top 10 teams like your Green Bay, your Pittsburghs, your Oaklands. I just don't see any alignment of this roster that makes them capable of that.
Yeah, that's fair points there, Justin. One of the things you notice with Buffalo is the first and second round picks have had no production at all out of those two picks, Shaq Lawson and Reggie Ragland. Lawson has not played a single snap for them and is still injured, so losing your first two picks, that doesn't help either. New York Giants at number 14, no change for the Giants. I was sorely tempted to drop them, but they did win the game, albeit a hideous game against the Rams. But what, the offense has to improve? And if so, where is it going to improve?
Well, their running game is non-existent, so that's a pretty good first step. They don't get a ton of production out of that tight end position. Really, outside of Odell Beckham, it's not the most impressive offense. And so I think there's a lot of room to improve. I think their offensive line is somewhat decent, though. But that's really got to be it. You know, I think I kind of give them a pass for being sluggish. This is a rare instance where the Giants get to experience the traveling multiple time zones east to play a football game, which is pretty difficult for a lot of people. And overall, you know, I think that they're right around where we thought they were at the start of the season, right? Which is kind of a... You know, they're in maybe the top half of the league, the bottom of the top half of the league. So I don't see this changing much. To me, what I really like to see is a lot of changes on the defense over the offseason. I really improved that. I think that this offense is probably fine, probably okay with where it's at right now.
Okay, I love a quiz, Justin. I love a quiz. So for 10 bonus points and a chance to go for, well, no real prize at all, but a bit of respect on the podcast... if I was to tell you the Giants were the 32nd ranked rushing attack, how many yards do you think they average per game?
54.
Oh, Justin, I'm sorry, you haven't won the extra bonus points. But you are not far off. They rush for a league last 70.3 yards a game, and I think that just backs up exactly what you've just said, so good job anyway.
Well, observations are not stat-based because stats are for losers.
Okay, I will. Don't be offended, James. Houston, James, Texas. Yeah, Houston, Texans. There we go. That's the correct team. Right. Anyway, let's leave that behind. At number 13, the Arizona Cardinals. They're up four spots. they have looked better in the last couple of games, but you do look at them and think, okay. I like the defense, looks solid, playing well, but hey, it's just David Johnson, isn't it, really, on the offensive side of the ball, and 10 fans?
Yeah, pretty much, and that's going to be an issue. Right now, it's plenty. David Johnson is a good enough player that you can, you know, if you lean on him, he'll win you some ball games. But, you know, this is the NFL. There's only so many touches he can take before his body starts to break down. That's what I'm most worried about. is, you know, not how he looks here around the first, like, third of the season. But once we cross that halfway point, once we get near the end of the season, is he just going to be ground into nothing? Is he going to be a short-lived, you know, superstar who, after 2 or 3 years in the league, disappears because of injuries? The way they're playing him right now, he had something like 20 touches in the first half. Yes, I understand that it's your best chance to win, but if you wear this player out, you're not winning anything. You know, the rest of that team is just not where it was a year ago. The defense played really, really solid. And so, you know, you don't necessarily need to score 50 points a game, but, man, without David Johnson, they've got nothing.
Yeah, that's the question always, isn't it? It's your best chance to win now, but what's the best chance to win what? The chance to get slaughtered by somebody in the playoffs because your running back is either out injured or is completely knackered. It seems a bit pointless. I do wonder also, our team's going to start saying, well, we're just going to put 8 men in the box. You know, beat us with your quarterback and your receivers. And right now, I don't see Carson Palmer beating very much. Arizona, you've got to do something about your passing attack. Up to number 12, we've got the San Diego Chargers. And I tell you a little secret, Justin, just between you and me. So please cover your ears, dear listener. The San Diego Chargers would probably be my team if it wasn't for the Washington Redskins. I've always liked the Chargers. Ever since reading about the old Air Coryell days and all the rest of it. I can't remember the quarterback's name they had back then, but he was a superstar. San Diego, up 4 spots. And you ask yourself the question, Justin, does Joey Bosa make this team a playoff contender and a strong playoff contender? Perhaps even the best in the West?
That's a tough one. Maybe. I mean, he's been impressive, and I think he's going to get better and better as the season goes on. I think he's just finally really getting into football shape because he missed all of the preseason. So possibly he's a really good player. But you know, don't sleep on the fact that Phillip Rivers is playing absolutely a fantastic football, that Melvin Gordon seems to finally be the player that we thought he could be. So this is a team that all the arrows are pointing straight up. That being said, they still have, you know, this curse looming over their heads that I think will come back to bite them again, where, you know, they'll have something completely unusual happen. Blade of grass will wrap around Melvin Gordon's foot one day when he's running down the field and tear his leg off or something. So as long as they can overcome the voodoo priestess, I think they are a legitimate contender.
Yeah, absolutely. Phillip Rivers, I watched quite a lot of the game last night, and Phillip Rivers was absolutely amazing. Just sensational. I like the fact he's got two tight ends now to throw to. Still throws to Gates. And they've got, now I always get my tight ends or my rookie tight ends mixed up. I'm going to say it's Hunter Henry who plays there for San Diego, and Austin Hooper is down in Atlanta. That looks really great. And Melvin Gordon coming onto a game. And Bosa just looked, I mean, not just rushing the passer, he just spent most of that game last night in the backfield. He was just brilliant. Really, really, really impressive. So we'll see how far San Diego can go. But just above them, number 11, we've got the Philadelphia Eagles. Up 2 spots. And you could say, Justin, why did you only take them up 2 spots? Well, I only took them up 2 spots because that win against Minnesota was just a bizarre game. It was almost as bizarre as your game last night. 8 turnovers. I think the first 5 possessions of the game between both teams actually were turnovers. It was just bonkers. And Sam Bradford, well, he turned into Sam Bradford last night, and he was terrible. But that offensive line for Minnesota wasn't great. Philadelphia, number 3 ranked defense in the league, number 31 ranked offense in the league. There's a little hint for you, Justin. What does this team need to do?
Carson Wentz was really impressive for the first couple weeks, but he's struggling right now. We kind of talked about this a few weeks ago when we were discussing Marcus Mariota, where I think he's at that a point now where people are starting to, you know, there's a few games of film out on him that you can see his tendencies a little bit. And so now NFL defensive coordinators have, you know, game plans to help contain him. So it's a question for him if he can make those adjustments and if he can sort of kind of exploit what they're opening up by kind of cheating towards his tendencies. He's got a head coach who's very offensive-minded, so I think he can. But right now, it really is all about Carson Wentz. He to me, is the reason why they're, you know, in the low 30s for offensive rank. And he, to me, is the reason why there's hope that they can really start ascending quickly towards the upper half of the league.
I guess my concern with Philadelphia would be down to his targets. I think the running game hasn't looked great in Philadelphia. The offensive line, has been a bit patchy, especially since Lane Johnson went out. And you do look at their wide receivers and tight ends, and you think, you know, what would scare a defensive coordinator?
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point. I think that, you know, this is going to be an offseason that's all about shopping for Carson Wentz, you know, to make his life easier, you know, improve the line, get him a good running back, get him good wide receivers. Like, if you spend the entire offseason basically trying to make his life as easy as possible next year, I think it's a very successful offseason. This is probably about as close as Philadelphia is going to get, I think, to being a top contender again. I just think that, you know, with their struggles on the offensive side of the ball, with their rookie quarterback, that, you know, pretty much all the teams in front of them have if not a good defense, a serviceable defense, and in most cases a star quarterback. And that's kind of what it takes in this league.
Yeah, no, absolutely. One thing I would just point you to the direction of the Oakland Raiders. They got their young quarterback a couple of years ago, and they had an outstanding number one receiver, young player Amari Cooper, come in. And they coupled him with a very savvy veteran in Michael Crabtree. And I think that is a big part of the success the Cars had.
Completely agree. If you can get something like that for Carson Wentz, I think that Philly's really got something.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Justin, there we are. That's up to number 11. We'll just quickly note the top 10. Not a lot of change really in the top 10. We've got Pittsburgh down two spots at number 10. I'm still going to drop them if they don't play well, because Landry Jones has had enough experience in this league to be performing better than he did last night. Green Bay up to number 9, up one spot. Oakland at number 8, also up one spot. And then we've got Denver at 7, Dallas at 6. No change for those guys. Denver obviously playing tonight. We talked about that earlier. And Dallas on a bye week. Atlanta down one at number 5. I thought they showed signs there last night that defense maybe is not as good as they had played in the first number of games of the season, but still at number 5 for Atlanta. Kansas City Chiefs up one spot to number 4. Solid win, even though they didn't play well. And sometimes you say good teams are the teams who win when they don't play particularly well. Minnesota at number 3. No change to Minnesota. I just thought it was a bit of a freak game last night, and that's not to take anything away from Philadelphia. They played really well, Philadelphia, but Minnesota, yeah, I'd like to see, well, let's see them do that again, lose in such a fashion, then we'll start dropping them. That's always been the reason I had them at number 3 and not in number 1, because I thought they had that in them with that offensive line and with Sam Bradford.
You know, the one matchup I would really, really like to see right now, because I think it would be so interesting, would be the Minnesota Vikings versus the Denver Broncos. I think that game would be absolutely terrific, and I think I would probably pick the Denver Broncos in that matchup. I think the Minnesota, I disagree with you. I would have moved them down. I think that, you know, this wasn't some weird, strange fluke game. Everybody saw something like this happening with Sam Bradford. You know, this didn't come out of left field, and I think the fact that he was playing Philadelphia had a lot to do with it. He's a player who, when it comes to like those really big moments, those really big spots, hasn't really lived up to it. And I think playing the team that just traded him away kind of qualifies as that for him. So here's a team that, once we hit the playoffs, once we're talking about, you know, primetime games against premier opponents, I think is going to struggle. And I think that this is a sign of things to come. I think they're still a great team. They'll continue to win tons and tons of games throughout the year, and have a very good chance to win their division, maybe even have a really high seed. But I don't think they're a contender once the playoffs start.
Yeah, I think perhaps one of the issues last night was, I think Philadelphia scored 21 points, 7 of which were on a didn't they score a defensive touchdown and a special teams touchdown?
I think so. You may be right about that.
Yeah, and if that's correct, then you think, well, that's 14 points of your 21 points. So actually, your offense put 7 points on the board. Minnesota have got to be able to score more than that.
I don't want to poo-poo the Minnesota Vikings, but let's talk about who they've beaten too, right? They beat the Titans, they beat the Packers, they beat the Panthers, the Giants, and the Texans. I mean, of these, the Packers are in the top 10. Everybody else is the next highest team they beat is ranked number 19 overall in our power ranks, looks like. So it's not like they've been taking on, you know, the Patriots of the world and the Chiefs of the world and the, you know, the Cowboys and Denver and all that stuff. So I think that this is the highest ranked team that they face outside of those ones we just mentioned, because, you know, they come in at number 11 and they were number 13 last week. And boy, did they make life difficult for them. So, you know, you really have to take who they've played into account with their record as well.
Oh, damn, Justin, you're right. Oh, I hate it when you're right. All right, give me a spot for Minnesota then. If not number 3 on our current rankings, where would you put them?
Number 5? At least, yeah, in my humble opinion, I think both Kansas City and Atlanta would beat Minnesota at this point. So I would probably slot them down below those two.
Okay. You think Dallas would beat them?
I think that would be a really good game. I don't know. On a neutral field, boy, that's what I would like to watch. And good news is we do get to see that game later in the year. So
yes, we do. Yeah. Okay, Justin, I'm going to drop them to number 5 for you there. Okay, how's that? Can't say fairer than that.
All
right, at number 2, no change. The Seattle Seahawks, and surely this week you're not going to be telling me that they should be pushing New England, who are our number 1 team.
No, and you know. I just wanted to point out a fun stat. So ever since the NFL-AFL merger, there have been 3 games that ended in 6-6 ties. All 3 games involved the Cardinals.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Cool. When was the last one then? That must have been what would that have been, before the actual NFL merger?
So the last 6-6 tie, again, these are all post-merger, was in 1972. So okay. I'm surprised you don't remember that. You were probably in college at the time.
Oh, I set myself up for that, didn't I? Damn it, Neil. You're stupid. Right.
Mine's not as sharp as it used to be.
Right, stop it. Let's move on. Right, so we've got Seattle number 2, New England at number 1 again, and you have to say, you know, you said earlier on you weren't impressed by New England. I probably feel the same way. It was one of those games where you think, gosh, New England look rubbish, and all of a sudden they've scored 20-odd points.
Yeah, they had a sudden flurry of points at the end, which made the game look more respectable, but, you know, they were ahead by a point halfway through the third quarter, and this is against a team that has a mediocre defense, which is an improvement for them actually, but a mediocre defense, no star quarterback, you know, a Bill Belichick defense that's been pretty good, and you know, his game plans are usually excellent, but so I was very, very unimpressed. I think that you know, if people just look at the box score, it looks like, oh, that's a double digit win against the Steelers, that's great. Yeah, but they didn't have anybody, and the game was really close for a long time. So I really, really, you know, I think it's still proper to have them at the number 1 spot, but not an impressive win by any stretch.
And you know, Justin, that takes me on very smoothly to my extra point for this week. And that is, well, last Thursday we had the podcast and it went on for about 6 hours and 45 minutes, I think, by the time we'd finished it. But towards the end, when we'd stopped recording, we were having a chat amongst ourselves, and the question I posed to the guys was, is the AFC the worst AFC that we have seen for years and years and years if you take away the New England Patriots? Is there another contender in there? Is there anybody who's even a complete team? And is it worth playing any more AFC games this season because of the teams who are up there? Who's going to challenge the Patriots? They're 6-1. They're going to win the division. And they're going to get home field advantage. They've beaten the Steelers, so they're going to have the tie break there. I just don't know if it's worth playing anymore. This is, I think it's the most incomplete AFC we've seen for a long, long time.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with you on honestly both conferences. I don't think there are superpower teams in the league, including the number one, number two team on this list. I think that all the teams are really flawed. I think that there's glaring weaknesses throughout. So I think the league's achieved a kind of a bit of a parity that way, which I guess is what they're going for. But I mean, you look at our top 10, there's, you know, it's really seems to be dominated by NFC teams. So I think overall the NFC is stronger. But, you know, I tend to think that, you know, none of these teams, at least the way they look right now, look as good as, you know, the absolute best teams in like the late 2010 or like the late 2000s. Some of those great teams that were just world beaters. So, you know, in the AFC, I could see maybe Atlanta and maybe Denver winning a game against New England. Not Atlanta, Kansas City, if they have all their weapons. I know they came real close last year, but that's really about it. Now, on the other side, you know, I think once the playoffs roll around, at least right now, if you put Seattle, Minnesota, Atlanta all in a bag, shook them up and dumped it out, they could come out in any order. So, yeah, there's no clear great teams in the NFL right now.
No, I would completely agree. You know, I grew up watching this great sport when you did have the powerhouse dynasty teams like the Cowboys, the 49ers, Washington for a period, the Giants, Chicago. And they, of course, were great sides playing outstanding football all over the field with huge contracted players in almost every position. And I do wonder, it's just a general question, Justin, is parity all it's cracked up to be? Because, to be honest, in the age of parity, we still have a handful of teams who have done absolutely nothing in these days. So, do we really have parity? And if we do, is it just dumbing down on the overall quality of the sport?
Boy, that's a good question. I would say in favor, I do like the parity. I like the idea that, you know, yeah, unless you're the Cleveland Browns, most teams can feel like they're probably just a year or two away. And, you know, when you see teams that go from worst to first and first to worst and all these changes, I mean, look at how bad Atlanta finished last year and how good they are this year. You know, to me, that's good for the fans. When the season rolls around, you have that hope. It can be real hope, unless you're the Cleveland Browns. So for my money, I do like this parity. And the teams that have been consistently near the top, you know, year in, year out, I think it's even more impressive in this day and age that it, you know, they're making even better decisions in terms of cap management, who to keep, who to let go, in terms of drafting. It's much, much more difficult to keep a good team together now than it's ever been before. So the teams that do it, I think, is really, really something special. So overall, I'm definitely in favor of it. But it is fun to kind of see those powerhouse teams and watch them sort of mow through the competition too.
It was when it was your team, but when you're on the other side of it, it wasn't so great. But yeah, well, it's a question that maybe we can hear from folk on Twitter about. You can hit me up at NeilSalmon71 and let me know if you like parity or not. What about you, Justin?
Yeah, you can hit me up at my last name, that's KOREIS, and hit us at NFU Podcast as well. Let the whole group contribute.
Absolutely. And we can take it back to our Slack channel and get the correct answer to that question. But yeah, we are certainly seeing a season where we're not seeing a great, great team, I don't think, even with New England. Justin, you got anything else to add tonight?
Oh, just the usual stuff. Email us at nextfanup@gmail.com. Check out our sponsor, BetDSI, at bestdsi.com. Use our promo code FANUP10 and get a free $10, 100% bonus. Use them for your gambling needs. Been in business for 20 years. They make fast payouts. You can gamble on sports. You can gamble on not sports like the election. I would probably not put any money down on Donald Trump at this time. Not that we endorse anybody because we don't, but if you look at the polling, it is pretty catastrophic. But other than that, obviously, you know, we are now in need of a Bengals fan. So if you're a Bengals fan, please let us know. We could also use a Titans fan and a couple other spots here and there. How about you, Neil?
Well, I'd just like to say, Justin, not that I'm politically motivated in any way towards your American elections, but you do look at Donald Trump, and you do wonder. He looks like an amateur taxidermist's first attempt at an orangutan.
Oh man, we should start doing these podcasts the same way they do the debates. You'll start talking, and then I'll just chime in. Wrong. Nope.
I've got to say they have been a great comedy experience for us over here in the United Kingdom. It's been fantastic. Long may it continue. More debates. That's what we need.
Let it end. It like this show needs to end.
Yes, it does. Okay. Bye bye, Justin.
Goodbye, Neil.
Well, I think we learned today that this game is four quarters long.
No, you see, he stopped the recording for a second.